This is Bird Request Part 2.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
First we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Keep up the requests, guys.
Welcome back in, hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. That's FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Made that one thinking of you.
Has there ever been?
He's gone so viral that he now is getting requests from people.
And as he should.
He gets bird merch.
As he should. The last video he did, the barn owl at the start, just elite. I mean, nobody's ever started anything better.
How about the crow?
The crow's great. But the barn owl is your first like opening song at the concert. The whole arena's on their feet. Everybody's into it. And I asked the question. Has there ever been anybody better at their job than that kid isn't making bird noises? Has he mastered his craft better than anybody else has ever mastered their craft? Because I find no weaknesses. And he's like 12 years old. How old is that kid?
I don't know. He can't be older than
He
like
looks like he's
14.
In middle school, maybe. Yeah. Like he's not. He doesn't look like a high school age kid.
Have you been to a concert where the opening song you actually like better than the closing song?
Because
you're right,
question.
You got to set the tone for what
set
you
the
come
tone.
Out to, right?
Yeah, you got
to
get everybody
you
on
You got to come
feet.
Out and set the mood. Usually,
you got to play a hit. You
usually
gotta...
it's a party, upbeat, yeah. something.
Stapleton, I can't imagine at Providence this weekend opened with Tennessee Whiskey.
No, probably not. That right? You get to that about halfway through. Yeah, you don't play an emotional
song,
breakup song. Probably
Most
still to
popular,
this point.
Most popular, I would say. From
Ooh, let me look at Spotify. I'll see what his top song is.
Okay. While he's doing that, speaking of birds, how's the quail? Did the quail make it?
Oh, yeah. You got a bird now, huh?
Quail?
You got a quail.
Yeah.
As
the
of
neighbor?
Last week, you told us you got a bird.
No, I said no. The wife wanted to get
wanted.
A quail. And then I saw the quail on a run. I FaceTimed her, and I was like, dude, this seems catchable. And then we looked up quails, and the specific quail we have does not fly. Mm-hmm. It just moves around like a
right.
little chicken.
It's got that little dangly thing all coming off its beak.
No. Oh. It's a different kind of quail.
Oh, okay.
These are ones that people actually have in, like, hen houses.
Oh, okay.
Because some people eat quail eggs. And they're less stinky. They don't make any noise. Like, they're actually pretty low-key.
Is a quail egg good?
It's big in the Asian community.
Is it?
Yeah. It's smaller.
What's
they're
the protein
smaller eggs.
Factor? Is there a...
You go to, like, a hung fat and you get the quail egg, you let me know.
Okay.
I haven't dabbled in it. It's a tiny little egg.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of people like them.
Mm.
But we didn't get the quail, and the baby bird we saved... I took to the Bird Alliance
oh, good.
Over here in the hills.
There you go.
Good.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And she said, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, take my bird, please.
And she said, we'll let you know. And I said, oh, you like email me? And she goes, no. If he makes it, we will notify you because we return it where it fell. And I said, you return it?
Really?
And she goes, yeah. And I go, great.
So they drive out to where they found the bird.
Because they want it
keep... back in its natural habitat.
Yeah.
Look at that, the Bird Alliance.
So if they reach out, I might watch them release the bird that we saved.
Well, that is a very positive way to start the third hour of our radio program. Allow me to darken the mood a little bit,
oh,
shall we?
Oh, here we go. Hello, darkness, my old
Not trying
friend.
To be a chotch.
Do you see some clouds forming overhead right now? Do you hear a little rumble in the sky?
She can't stop it from coming.
Well, here we go again, Bob. Last night, our great friend Jason Quick of The Athletic decided, you know what? Let me ruin everybody's Sunday scaries.
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Let's make it even worse, shall we? Great reporting on his part. The piece is up on The Athletic. I will go through some of it and some of the quotes. So if you remember on Friday, the city and the council sent their term sheet over to the Blazers, asking for, to paraphrase, union workers, a cap on the amount of money that they'll be on the hook for spending, $3 million and then increasing over the length of the deal and rent payment, right? Some pretty basic stuff that we assumed that they were going to ask for. That wasn't the first curveball of the weekend. It was the council members who were no votes coming out being like, we didn't even condone them sending this, to which I would respond, they only need 6 positive votes, so you're literally irrelevant. But that didn't end up being the biggest story of the weekend. The biggest story of the weekend came from the Blazers' response to this, and it was delivered through Jason Quick last night at The Athletic. One team source told Jason Quick, quote, I think we are very far apart.
Mm-hmm.
The term sheet is a non-starter. I don't know why they sent it to us because they know very little of the stuff we would agree to. They are playing politics at this point. And it essentially goes on to highlight all the different things, right? Union workers being a big issue. the rent payment and that escalating over the length of the deal being a big issue. And it went on from there. Quote from a team source, "No one with the Blazers has ever said we'd want to move the team. We don't want that. We want to stay in Portland." And basically went on to say, but they have to play ball. Mitch Green is quoted in this article.
Council member
Mitch Green.
I'm a big no.
Saying, "I think the Blazers have been behaving poorly. They thought because they passed the state legislature that the deal was done, but we have a set of counselors who are asking tough questions. And this is Portland, Oregon, where people want more public transparency than there has been. Like, how much are we spending on tents and needles? You know, maybe that information would be good." Another
hey,
one.
Over budget. We didn't spend all our art tax money. Yeah, transparency. It's been great.
According to Quick, he said the Blazers' reluctance to share their renovation plans is twofold, which has been a sticking issue for some on the council. One, most of the renovation plans are, quote, ideas or concepts. Or two, they were offended when Councilor Steve Novick in June threatened to sue them for not maintaining the Moda Center as a first-class venue. One source said, "We don't even want to respond to the term sheet until they remove that gun to our head," highlighting that that is an issue for them, and they're not willing to share some of their concepts and plans until they get an agreement from the city that they will not be sued by somebody on the city council. And so this took about as hard a left turn as you could imagine. There's more in here, but your initial thoughts on the Blazers' reaction to the city council sending over their term sheet?
So we have the concepts of a plan. Is that the Blazers' official stance?
Now, it did get to...
This is a very interesting... They both come off very...
Yes. Like, ridiculous.
Well, so the Blazers' angle is that their renovation plans are secret and they can't know what they would want. Yet we had a handshake agreement in March. Why aren't we just doing that we talk?
And then they also told Quick in the piece, if you want to know what they want, here it is, including in the Blazers' renovation concepts are a new atrium entrance on the north side of the arena, which would ease the flow of traffic entering and exiting the building. Sounds like a nice thing to have. Also, the arena operates with only one main kitchen. The hope is to have kitchens on all three levels to enhance fans' concession experience. There's also concepts for eliminating some of the 300-level seating and building a bar, as well as updating club-level seating. And so this idea, we can't even share your plans, and then it's like, well, I know that's obviously not all of it, but that's three pretty decent-sized renovation changes and modifications that would come to the Moda Center. They're both seemingly talking out of both sides of their mouth, and it's incredibly frustrating. Right,
poll question is up. Did at JW Quick know he was giving Blazer fans the Sunday scaries when his story was published? Yes or no? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
I think he did, but he's doing the good work of a big J journalist.
We're not. This is not an attack.
No.
No. Don't shoot the messenger here.
No.
That's just a fair poll question because, my God, look, it's a public negotiation.
Yeah.
You asked me, what are my thoughts? The term sheet announcing that they've sent the Blazers the term sheet was certainly great. To read the term sheet was even better because it was published. I pointed out on the show Friday, and I didn't feel any different on Saturday. They were never going to agree to all those terms.
Nope.
Just do 2 cents of research, 2 seconds of research. This is Tom Dundon. He is going to squeeze the living hell out of them. Now, I believe the number came out at 573, not 600, right? So there's already your sticking point. They're also noting that 600 may not be a big enough number for them now, which tells me it's basically a full blow up of the inside of the Moda is what I think they're trying to do. Because if it's not, you are maybe saying in a roundabout way, you actually might be trying to squeeze us into an entirely new arena. And that, to me, that is where difficult conversations, I already think we're in there, but like even more difficult conversations are going to arise. I'm not surprised by either side. The Blazers are saying, you can't possibly know what we wanted. Why didn't you agree to talk about what we wanted?
Right.
While the city is like, you should be punished for not updating this venue and making it first class. Well, we own the building. Why should we update this building?
Right.
When
we're only putting in 20% of the asking price.
I've seen a lot of the social media reaction to it. I've seen a lot of the comments on the Rip City Reddits and the comments on the story itself. I'm not surprised in any way that people are concluding the team is leaving. Or, oh my God, where is this? What's going to happen here? They want a new arena. I've seen it all. I think I'm sitting in the exact same spot. This is a very public negotiation.
It's going to get ugly.
Now, are there things in this that I'm like, team-wise, How can you be upset by it? Because as we noted, they are touting on their side, the team, that their fair market thing that Dundon said famously at his press conference, it seems to be already changing too. We've reevaluated and looked at other landscapes. Utah and Oklahoma City were the two used in this story. Well, when you dig into it, what do you find out, Dirt? That there was money being pumped in from who? The owner.
Yes, there was.
And you're also using public money with similar tax structure. Now, how they negotiate the tax thing, they're going to have to figure that out. Portland is a very difficult area to negotiate with that. And I said from the start of this, I thought that guy, based on his opening comments, would lean into the district idea because, one, he's got it going in Carolina, but, two, he also loves the fan experience, does he not?
Yeah.
He's shown no loyalty or love for Portland so far as the owner. I don't expect that to change.
No.
But I just wonder if we get to the point where he gets financially what he wants and maybe comes out and says it. Because when you compare it to market deals, Utah, for example, is giving them a ton of money to renovate their arena. And guess what Ryan Smith, the owner, is doing?
$3 billion surrounding the arena. I'll pay for the outside, you pay for the inside. Let's make this special.
Tom Dundon wants to make money. This is not just about, I just care about wins. He wants to win, but he also wants to make money.
Right.
He has not shown so far a public willingness to say, I'm investing in a new district. Now, will we get to that point? I would imagine so, or at least I hope so. I'm not going to fearmonger you today and tell you the team's leaving. It's a very public negotiation. So right. I really wasn't shocked. I just find it funny the city and the team stance of just like talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because and both sides are doing it. And I think that's a difficult part of it. Like the Blazers in this column are basically saying, there was it says, let me read from here, quote, a Blazer source said the team has been examining the other recent arena deals in Oklahoma City and Utah and may start looking for a new deal in Portland. That's what you're hinting at, which might even include asking for a new arena in Portland. Quote, the city's delay has given us time to study what a market deal is, the Blazer source said. And let's just say the $600 million deal was supposed to be done 6 months ago, now is way below market value.
You want a hot take? That has not been different from when they first said their opening statement of, we just want a fair market deal to now.
Yes.
Nothing changed. You are just now, you're just publicly negotiating and posturing.
Right. And the idea of, we've studied the OKC and Utah deals, and this is where it's very specific of like, why are you saying that when you're not doing what OKC and Utah are doing? And maybe we'll get to that point. But as Wright Gazaway pointed out, and you highlighted, Oklahoma City's owner put money in to get the arena deal done. He's putting money up. Now, a lot of it's coming from taxpayers, but it is a split partnership between the owner of OKC and the city. And the Utah owner, Ryan Smith, I think is his name, if I'm not wrong.
Ryan Smith.
Agreed to privately redevelop three city blocks around the arena for the cost of roughly $3 billion. And so there's this agreement in place of, hey, you guys pay, we're doing the inside of the arena, we got to do it because hockey team plays here now anyways. While you do that, why don't I build up the surrounding area and let's come to an agreement here, and then both sides win because the area is nicer, you get more business, you get more money into the local economy, you're hiring more people. It's a win-win-win for everybody, right? And so that's where I've always felt like one of the biggest asking points that the council should have is not hand-wringing over all of the money that they're being asked to pay, because we spend the money on a lot of stupid stuff in this city that just gets flushed down the toilet year in and year out, and the Blazers are certainly more important than that. Mm-hmm. It's more of an ask of like, all right, if we do this, what are we going to get from you out of it sans a lease? Obviously, you have to sign the lease in order to get the money, so that's a given. What else do we get out of you, Tom Dundon? How do you find a way to meet him in the middle and do a Ryan Smith type of deal of like, all right, fine, you want your $120 million with no override?
He doesn't have Ryan Smith money.
That's fine, but he's literally doing it in Raleigh. This is literally how the process played out. And we'll go to Raleigh in a second, and we'll find out more about how the entire thing played out of like, what investment in the city are we going to get from you if you're not putting money into the arena? And that, to me, is a fair ask as somebody who cares about making money, who wants the arena or the area around the arena to be nice, because he cares about fan experience. Might not care about the city of Portland, but he cares about fans having a good time because you're a customer and he wants you to come back and spend more money, and all he cares about is the bottom line. That just seems like a reasonable approach. We have highlighted the entire time that this is going to get ugly, and every turn is going to
we're in it.
It's ugly. It was ugly when Adam Silver commented. It was ugly when the city started throwing stuff out. And you're like, all right, well, that's at least progress, but they're not going to agree to any of this. We all knew that. And now you find out it's a non-starter from the Blazers, and that's their next counter-argument publicly. And so this is going to go on. My opinion has not changed on the ultimate outcome, but there's no doubt it's going to be hairy for a while.
So the one element that I was thinking about when after I read this piece, because I from the start, I thought naturally he would shift to, let's make this a district, right? You got the Albina thing going on from Phil Knight, and so you're going to revamp the area. And then, like, how do you make this even more team-friendly? One, might be alone on an island. I view it as a positive that actually we got some information on the concept and ideas of what
that was a
do.
Step in the right direction.
The we north find, they side, find out you're something. Telling me what you want to do with a section
an
of the
atrium.
Building.
How about that?
Hey, maybe Clay Bennett did that in Seattle, and I don't recall him saying, you know, the north side of Key Arena, I want to do it this way. I don't recall that. Maybe he did, but I thought that was a positive thing. The second element of this, and this is where I'm curious, we can argue with people about Tom Dundon and cheap, and does this matter and does that matter about where you're cheap and how cheap you are. I think it's important to note, though, part of the reason maybe we haven't gotten the Tom Dundon build up a district thing commitment the way he did in Carolina. What is it, $300 or $400 million he committed to it?
I can't remember.
Whatever the team committed to it, and then they got the public money. Maybe the reason that's not happening here, Dirt, is he doesn't have $3 billion to spend like Ryan Smith on a district. Guess what's more expensive than a hockey team, as we've notably made along the journey of the Tom Dundon experience? A basketball team.
Yeah.
Far more expensive, actually. So, like, this is where the being cheap thing might have people in the right of, like, when you are a certain level of rich, and certainly he is a billionaire, but he's at the bottom tier of it, you are not probably going to want to say, well, the thing that costs twice as much to operate as my other team, I'm going to dump more money into a district? I can't.
He committed $800 million to the area around the Hurricanes Arena. Yeah,
so
$800 million for a mixed-use entertainment district around the
current
arena.
How much? So Ryan Smith's district is $3 billion. What would our district be? Two?
I mean, there's a balance here, right? Like,
1.5?
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much it would cost.
I just don't think he has the money to do that. And that's, I think, the problem is I thought he would lean into the district thing. And so far, the negotiating thing, he has not. Does he have that kind of money? And that's the thing you got to ask about Tom Dundon, as many people have noted with the T-shirt thing, you know, all the stuff we've gone through already, is the money to do that in hockey is a little different because your operating costs are much less than they are in the NBA.
Right.
So that's the element of the district part that I can't help but wonder.
Yeah, if you got $800 million to put in for the Hurricanes, like that money is not... The point on buying an NBA team and an NHL team is valid, far more expensive, and maybe that used up the rest of his capital.
Well, so are the salaries. I mean, just right, your salary.
Right, I totally... But so are the revenues, right? Like, you're making significantly more money because the TV contracts and ticket sales and all that that come with being an NBA owner, and that's why the salaries are more expensive, is because the league makes more money. So I don't know what the exact number would be. I don't know what the exact ask would be. I'm just surprised that's not been more of a counter-argument of, we're trying to build up the Albina district. You have, do you remember how much Phil Knight pledged? Do you remember how much it was? Was it $400
Maybe
million?
I got Dundon's number with his district with Phil
Knight. So I knew it was a couple hundred million, if I remember. I just couldn't remember the number off the top of my head. And so that's all going to the Albina area. Not all of this is great.
Yeah, $400 million the Albina district.
The biggest frustration here for me is the lack of understanding, I think, from some people in the city to acknowledge the fact that they have no leverage. Like, there is
there's none at all.
There
you
is a quote in here from Mitch Green.
At the very end of the article.
It's
jaw-dropping.
Quote, every indication I read about Tom Dundon is that he makes decisions based solely upon whether or not it's going to increase his profit. If he moves the team, it's because he thinks he can get a better deal. And if I'm in Tom Dundon's shoes and I'm trying to do the calculus, then I'm going to be evaluating the cost of moving the team versus the cost of coming to the table and making these counselors happy. Right now, it's a matter of $120 million. Like, if Dundon came out today and said, I'm going to pick up the tab on $120 million, that would probably get us to the finish line tomorrow. First off, just saying probably is alarming. Like,
the money's already there.
It's
outside
not,
of the city.
What are we doing here? First off, Mitch Green. Second, like, dude, the fact that we have idiots like this willing to play a game of chicken with somebody who I don't think he bought the team with the intention to leave. I don't think he bought the team with
no.
Like, that was the goal. And the I'm moving this team to Nashville.
Yeah, real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but one source in the story is actually asking, because there has been zero people that have talked about the Blazers being relocated in any capacity.
And that'll be the next that'll be the next public negotiating threat, is that stuff becoming public of like, well, if you guys aren't going to play ball, we're going to have to consider
we'll
our options here, right?
Cities.
That will be a point at some point if this continues of like, do you realize how dumb you sound? Mm-hmm. He's a billionaire who only cares about money, and he's going to take the best market deal. If only he would put in $120 million of his... How does that make it the best market deal, you jackass? I just... Yeah, some of that stuff makes me yell and get angry. I tend to still have the same opinion on the ultimate outcome of it. It just sucks that both sides are talking out of both sides of their mouth. Let's get to...
Another time you've been angry.
Hey, yeah, that's been at number three today. How did this all play out in Raleigh? Because Raleigh went through something similar, and as a hockey fan, I remember him buying the team and this thought of like, because I remember thinking from a Portland angle, like, I'd love to have an NHL team, or the Hurricanes going to move. I remember that being a storyline, and we'll go to Raleigh coming up next. Chip Alexander, he's been covering the Hurricanes for a long time. On their negotiation, the arena deal, the investing around the arena, how did it all play out there, and what do we need to know? Chip Alexander next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. It is 8:29. Things are going great. Our pets' heads are still on. Although after my dog got sprayed by a skunk, I kind of wish his was off right now. It doesn't smell good, man. Doesn't smell good.
Not good.
Can't wait to walk back into my house today and be hit with that smell again. Ooh. He snuggled at me like he's a bed sleeper. He sleeps in the bed.
I know.
Dog hair everywhere. It's not great.
Well, but, you got to be out on that now, right?
Well, at this current moment, yes, because I took a leak at like 3 a.m. and crawled back into bed, and he tried to nuzzle up, and I just did a, oh dude, push him down to the bottom of the bed, roll over. It's burned into my nostrils,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Things are not going great in my household, nor are they going great with our negotiation with the Blazers about a new arena, and who's gonna pay for it? The city council being as stupid as you could possibly imagine, and the Blazers being as stubborn and dumb as you could possibly imagine. So that leaves us between a rock and a hard place. There's another city who went through this recently, a number of years ago. Once upon a time, there was the thought maybe the Hurricanes could be moving. They got this new owner from Texas named Tom Dundon. They need a new renovated arena. How's this all going to work out? And let's find out more about that. Joining us now from Raleigh, from the Raleigh News Observer, is Chip Alexander at @ice_Chip, which, by the way, we got some important things to ask you about, Chip. First off, thank you for the time today. The Twitter handle is phenomenal. Do you get the proper accolades on that? Because @ice_Chip is solid.
Well, I think it started in 2009, so it's been around for a while. But, yeah, it's a pretty good handle to have, I guess, when you cover hockey.
Right, it makes sense, right, Chip? He's covering hockey, so I like that. Can we walk down, take a look in the rearview mirror of, take us back to when Tom Dundon bought the team, and kind of what was at stake there, what the thought process was, and how all of that went down to eventually get the funding passed for an arena deal, and then from our reading that Tom Dundon is putting in hundreds of millions of dollars in the surrounding area around the arena.
Yeah, it didn't come as a real surprise when Dundon bought the team, maybe who he was, but not that it was being, you know, sold. Previous owner Peter Karmanis had moved the Hartford Whalers to North Carolina, but you know, they won the Stanley Cup in 2006. They had success, but he was having some financial problems, and he had already sold parts or at least had locals invest in the team, that kind of thing. So he was looking for someone who might be interested in buying a sports franchise. Tom Dundon had never owned one, had been a sports fan, big sports fan. In fact, when he first came to Raleigh, a colleague of mine, and I, the first thing we did with Tom Dundon was shoot basketball, which I guess chimes in with Portland now. But you could tell right off the bat he was a big basketball enthusiast. We were shooting at the arena. He's a left-hander, the whole thing, but an interesting guy. But when he came in, you know, he had big plans right off the bat. I mean, this is a guy who is, you know, A-type personality, goes hard all the time. I asked one guy with the Hurricanes, what's he like to work with? He says he likes you to think outside the box, but I'm not so sure he has a box. I mean, you know, he's just a guy. He always had a million ideas, and he had his hand into everything right from the beginning. It wasn't some, you know, an owner who came in and hired some good people and said, okay, it's all yours now. I mean, he hopped in. I remember when they were doing the first draft, NHL draft. I mean, he wanted to read all the scouting reports for the guys they were thinking about drafting. I mean, he was that hands-on from the beginning. So, you know, he has the financial wherewithal to do what he wants to do. The arena here, he struck the deal for the part of it was the renovation as part of a signing a new lease here. There are 80 acres outside the arena, which he plans to put an entertainment district, which would be similar to what's in Atlanta with the Battery there. So he's a man with big plans, and I think if there was a real surprise, it was that he bought the Portland NBA team. I mean, that was I'm not sure I was quite ready for that yet, and but I guess that he has certainly he felt like he'd gotten the job done for the most part, you know, here in Raleigh, and certainly that was underscored just recently with the Stanley Cup. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
and been a good owner. Yeah. He's been a little unpredictable, a little unorthodox, but he puts his money where his mouth is. And right from the beginning, he said, one of the things I learned, if you want to be competitive in the NHL, you've got to spend to the salary cap. And the previous owner was not willing to do that and maybe not able to do it, but Dundon has been able to do it and has done it. And the Hurricanes have been a competitive team, and in the playoffs every year he's on the team.
We're going through it a little bit out here because our city council members, we got certain segments of people that don't want to fund anything. The city owns the arena. It was sold to them for a dollar by the previous ownership group. And so Dundon comes in here, says he just wants a market rate for renovations because a new arena seems almost impossible to have happen out here. And the city gives the term sheet. The Blazers basically, through Dundon probably, you know, say this is no good in any way. Now people are out here panicking, thinking we're going to lose our basketball team. Walk us through what the early conversations were like when you talk about public funding for arena renovations with Tom Dundon. Like, did you guys have a similar experience of, oh, my God, we're going to lose the team? Or politically, did you guys just jump in and say, what do you need? How much? Here you go. Like, what was it like to go through the experience with Tom Dundon in negotiations?
Well, I think it was an education for Tom Dundon here. Part of it was that the arena is operated by a body called the Centennial Authority, which is appointed members from the city and the county and the legislature that oversees the operation of the arena. And certainly the Hurricanes, since coming in, have run the arena and the arena operations. But so they have what's called a landlord who oversees the arena. And when they've made constant renovations, this is the biggest one. $300 million is the biggest one, and it came from a local hotel prepared foods tax, which a certain portion of it has been used to the years for renovation, but they asked for a you know, more from that fund to help in this major renovation, and were able to work it out. So, you know, I think part of it was that Tom Dundon saying, if you want a long-term lease from the Hurricanes, I need assurances this is going to be done, and certainly they wanted to keep the Hurricanes in the arena. I don't think there was ever any real chance of them moving the franchise. I just think it was all part of a leverage game between both sides to get things worked out, you know, so that both could live with the whatever the final verdict was, which I think they have been able to. And $300 million may be a conservative figure. They may need more in terms of the entertainment district outside. That could be over $1 billion. So there is a major investment in this arena in Southwest Raleigh, and certainly it shows the commitment of Dundon. Does Dundon want a new arena down the road, maybe 10 or 15 years down the road? They're going to look at options then, but that's, you know, that's too long to think about for now. But for a guy who came in with a lot of big plans and talked about a lot of things, I think they've been able to smooth it out, and both sides are pretty happy where they stand now. Certainly when you put a Stanley Cup banner up, they're pretty happy, but right. They're pretty happy with the way things are going, I think.
Yeah, championships will help that for sure. Chip Alexander is our guest, the Raleigh News Observer, covering the Carolina Hurricanes for a long time, at @ice_ Chip on Twitter. You mentioned the $800 million that was part of that. Was that like, hey, once the city funding passed for the stadium, that was also a part of the deal? Did it come afterwards? Was that a negotiating tactic from the city to say, hey, if we pay for this, what are we going to get out of it? Was that something Dundon did on his own? Like, what do you remember about how that $800 million came about, and when is that project expected to start?
Well, let me start by saying it's $300 million. I don't know if said eight, but it's $300 million for the renovations and enhancement of the arena. But, yeah, it was all part. It had been discussed. They knew that the arena's, you know, it was open in 1999, so it was due for a major enhancement. And certainly they go to the city, and the County had the, you know, had to decide on major projects within the city, including expanding a convention center and things like that. So it wasn't like this was the only project being considered. There was some talk of maybe even building a soccer stadium in Raleigh, which would need money from the, you know, from the city and from this tax. But the tax has been used through the years to provide funds for the arena, and they just, you know, it was a bigger ask this time, but they were able to work it out and get it. And certainly the arena should look a lot nicer, obviously, yeah. But and they're hoping to have it ready. They're shutting it down for 3 months this summer, so they should have a lot of it ready by the beginning of the season next year. But I'm not sure how much of that would have been done without Tom Dundon and without the negotiations that he held with the authority. But certainly they got it done, so that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Did they balk early between each other the way – like, we just had the term sheet sent to the team publicly. That was their way of telling Adam Silver and the team, like, no, we're serious, here's the funding. And the team responded last night through one of our great journalists, Jason Quick. Did early on between the committee that runs the arena and Dundon for the funding stuff – did they have like an impasse basically where he disagreed with the initial start out and then negotiated, or did they come in right where he wanted them to from the start of it?
I think what happened with Dundon, I think he had a pretty good association with the Centennial Authority right from the beginning. I think both sides were able to, I don't think there was any real friction between the two, which is always a good start in any negotiation. It's not like I don't like you and I don't like you and we're going to argue about this for the next year and decide on something. I think it was an easy fit. He came in. It was like, as I said, it was new for him. He'd not dealt with anything like a Centennial Authority before, so he had to get an idea of who's running the thing and how competent everybody was. I think he felt like he could work with them, and he did. And certainly he had some people here, you know, working for the team, helping him do that. So He's not been in Raleigh like, you know, 4 days a week for a couple of years. He wasn't like that in the beginning. He was here a lot, but not quite like that. But at the same time, no, I don't think there was a lot of friction even from the beginning in trying to get things done, because I think the authority recognized the arena was going to have to be renovated in a, you know, to a large sum in the next few years right from the beginning. Dundon bought in 2018, majority owner 2019. And certainly COVID put everything, you know, on hold. And then they picked it up from there. So they were kind of eyeing this time, you know, 2025-26 is the time to start the renovations. And as you know, a lot of times those things can get bogged down and pushed right back. And certainly they've been able to get it done. So everything's on go, I guess, once they shut the arena down and said no concerts, no nothing for the next 3 months. You know, I saw a photo the other day. All the seats are out of the lower bowl. They're putting new seats in, which is the first time that structure has not had seats in it since 1998 when they built the place. So, you know, major things are happening out there, and the place will have a nice, spiffy new look to it, you know, come the fall.
Yeah. Winning a Stanley Cup and having all six members of your family on the cup is certainly a game changer for many people. I do want to ask, because
don't you think they could have found a room for Ice Chip?
Yeah, why isn't your Twitter handle on there, man? You've been there since day one.
That very short notation they could have added at the very end.
Would have been great. You know, when he was
introduced. Nobody asked. Yeah, whatever.
When he was introduced, he didn't seem to have a lot of love or excitement about Portland. And that's, you know, out here for us, we're hippies who just want to be beloved by everybody. And so that has been a real sticking point. His commitment to the city, doesn't seem to really care all that much about it. Was that what it was for Raleigh, him being from the Texas area? Was he not super all in on Raleigh at the beginning? I know it may have changed now since they've won and they've been really good. But at the beginning, where was he at in terms of like, oh, I love Raleigh, or I really want to invest in Raleigh? Like, how did people view what he was in affiliation to the city?
No, I think he was hard to read right from the beginning, but the sense I got in getting to know him was he's all business all the time, and he has a low-key personality. In fact, he was recently on Spin Chicklets, and I guess it was on Netflix, I saw a side of his personality I had not seen before, right, in which he was sitting back and laughing and joking and that kind of. I guess, once again, winning a cup will change your personality a little bit, but because he admitted he had so many, you know, so much nerves involved in trying to get trying to win the cup. But, no, he was like that at the beginning here. I mean, he didn't come walking in going, oh, what a great city. It's the capital of North Carolina. You got great per capita. This is going to be a tremendous – you know, you've won a Stanley Cup here before, which is exciting. I'm going to win another one. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was more, okay, we got a lot of work to do here. Got a lot of things that need to be done. In my mind, attendance needs to be better. One of the first things he did was he really saw an outdoor, you know, an outdoor game at the NC State Stadium next to the arena, and was able to get that done, even though COVID pushed it back some. But he's a guy that gets things done, even if he comes across low key and he has that look in his eye, that predator look in his eye that he's always had from the get-go here. But, no, he didn't come in with guns a-blazing about what a great place it was. But at the same time, you could tell from the beginning he's very competent. He was going to get things done.
Yeah, great stuff. My last one would be, what's it like to work for a competent – or not work for, but live in an area with competent local leadership? Because it sounds like you got that in Raleigh. Maybe we're missing that a little bit right now in Portland. Chip Alexander, at @ice_chip, a phenomenal Twitter handle, covering the Hurricanes, Duke, UNC, NC State, all as well for the Raleigh News Observer. We appreciate the time all the way out here in Portland, man. Thanks for the insight on Dundon, and have a good one.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Chip Alexander.
Thank you to Chip for hopping on and being flexible as well. I misbooked him, so I had to push him
out. Had to move that around. That was good stuff. Good insight.
Boy, a couple things right there.
Man, they owned the arena. They realized it was built in 1999. It probably needed a bit of a facelift. You know, we're going to have to do this anyway, so we might as well get it done now. Let's work with him on getting a surrounding district. Anything else I'm missing? Why are we so stupid? Next on The Fan. All right, went a little long there with Chip Alexander. Last segment on this, I promise we'll move on to greener pastures in the final hour of the show, that meaning football stuff.
Dirt, we have a tan off at SEC Media Days with these coaches at the podium.
You dude, Venables looked like he'd been on his speedboat at whatever lake he lived on all damn summer.
I'm going to give you a take.
He's having a good time.
I think Brent Venables is the hottest coach in college football.
Marcus Freeman, line two.
Brent Venables is the second hottest coach in major Power Four college football.
I mean,
come on. That tan looks amazing on Venables.
He's a big workout guy, too. The videos of him, like, running the stadium, stairs for games
Eli's
and stuff.
Got
like, still
the,
a player.
Eli's got – he was wearing the big shades.
He's
I think
the raccoon
he might have
had
the Lucas Herbert shades. Yeah. He's got the raccoon eyes there.
He also – it kind of looks like a fake tan, too.
It does.
Like,
it does.
So tan that he looks like a fake tan.
Like, he did it on purpose. That's something that Eli Drinkwitz would do. The phony that he is.
Absolutely.
We all know the beef this show has with Eli
Drinkwitz.
That's
right. You hate Eli Drinkwitz.
Some final thoughts on this. While some things have been encouraging to me lately, like, did you see the report about the surrounding mayors all coming together?
Yeah.
So, like, Milwaukee, Oregon City, Happy Valley, like, all these different Hillsboro, Beaverton, all coming together like, yo, we're involved in, like, we, you know, this helps our people, too. They drive in to go to games. Like, it's good for the economy. We've had business leaders come out with op-eds and they formed an actual group, Rip City something, I think, basically saying, like, hey, morons, do you realize how important this is to the local economy? So there's been little positives here or there. And then sometimes it's just demoralizing to do an interview like that in here. Let me see. The arena was built in 1999 in Raleigh. They had the wherewithal years ago to say, you know what, it's probably going to need a facelift. When was the Rose Garden built?
96.
96. Wasn't it before that?
94.
It was built 94, but I thought the first season was 96.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. But anyways, it was older than the Lenovo Center. So you have more years on the more tread on your tires, if you will. Their city council and commission came up with the idea of, like, all right, let's just do a tax on the surrounding hotels. This seems pretty simple. Like, hey, let's tax things that only are associated with the Blazers. 1995.
Correct.
Okay. Those taxes go away if the Blazers don't exist, so we're going to lose the tax revenue. It's just incredibly frustrating to hear an interview like that of just, you know, competent people saying, all right, this is great for the local economy. Let's get this done. What's it going to take from our end? What would you like to contribute? Okay, you in a district. Can we do that? Okay, here's the district. Now let's start the renovations. And seemed a lot more seamless as the process played out from the reporting that we just got from Chip Alexander.
Well, I think a couple takeaways there. The first one that really sticks out, aside from the arena being almost exactly the same situation as our situation here in Raleigh, and it's run by their centennial group or whatever the hell it was, and ours is owned by the city now, it's the approach of the city. He came into Raleigh and he basically was like, I like sports. I want to win. We'll do what it takes to win. Never said, I love Raleigh. I'm happy to be in Raleigh.
No, that's not
his
DNA.
But because he didn't do that in Portland, I had to listen to people and read pieces about you don't understand us. It's like,
stop it.
He's actively trying to move the team. He doesn't care about Portland. It's
just
like,
no, he just doesn't care about that stuff. No. That's not why he bought a team, to say, I love the Portland community. I want to be in the community. He's not a community guy. He flies
private.
Shout
out to Pal's Books. It's a great place.
So, like, let him come in here and do his thing, but instantly he came in here and we had to make a big do about nothing with T-shirts and does he love us and does he want to be with us? Like, we instantly come off the bat looking like just a weird, desperate city in many ways. And he didn't reciprocate that feeling. He didn't do it in Raleigh either.
No.
So, like, he just wants to come in and get his stuff done. He said multiple times, and I'm not trying to direct quote this because I don't want Wright Gazaway to, you know, come at me in the mentions. But, like, he basically alluded to, like, I have not talked about moving the team. The sources and the quick things say nobody has brought that up as an issue. And that was an off the record, you know, or that was an anonymous quote. So, like, you're not going to be outed for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going there. I'm just not. What I will go there with is Raleigh knowing, like, we need to get this done anyway. And let's not F around. Let's work with the guy. He's not wrong to point out our business climate's really crappy,
mm-hmm.
and business leaders here are rallying together. And, oh, by the way, I've always found it funny. This all boils down to the city of Portland and the city council. There are so many other cities in the state that need this team to be here.
Yep.
But we need six individuals.
Six peacocks.
To stop living in their own little bubbles.
Hey, yo!
And just, like, get your S together. I'm not saying the Blazers are perfect here. They're certainly not. It's just listening to that interview, I'm like, oh, my God.
It seems like it should be
pretty
simple.
It literally was us, but in the East.
Yeah.
And now he's out here, and we're sitting here just choking away the moment.
How about the clean needle in the tent money, divert it, Moda Center. Huh?
Well, I mean, everybody it's going to go. What I would also take away, though, to be fair, not to defend the city,
this
is going to go over the dollar amount.
Of course it is. When was the last time a renovation in an arena didn't go? That was the first thing I pointed out last week with the term sheet of, like, there's no way they're going to agree to that part of it. Because what are the chances it stays at 600? Also, send us your detailed plans. You don't know how much money you're going to have, but send us your detailed plans. It just, incredibly frustrating. Good insight there. If you missed that interview, Chip Alexander, on some of the similar themes, although some of them very not similar. But the thought on what happened in Raleigh is they tried to get their arena deal done and ultimately did get it done. And as he pointed out, now in the offseason, they win the Stanley Cup. And what's happening? The arena shut down for months as the renovation plans are starting for the Hurricanes and the Lenovo Center. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Let's turn this thing around. Let's turn this car around to happier times. How about some football talk? How about Rory McIlroy taking a dump on the doucher? We haven't played that audio yet. We got a lot to get to. It is a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.